Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you just take a glance at chapter 28, you will notice it is a long chapter, 68 verses. I'm hoping we're going to cover that chapter this morning. Chapter 28 is not as well known as, for instance, Deuteronomy 6, where it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." But it is one of the chapters that is often referred to. In some circles, it is used a great deal. And the basic theme of Deuteronomy 28 is very simple. If you obey God, you will be blessed. If you disobey God, you will be cursed. That is chapter 28 in a nutshell. We're going to read much of this morning with little or no comment. We're going to spend a good bit of time talking about the context and the structure of the chapter, and then we'll talk about the application as well. So I want us to begin by reading the first 19 verses of this chapter. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. "And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out." Verse 7. "The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake, and he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground, within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall only go up and not down, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them." Verse 15. "But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out." Father, this morning, many of us have read this chapter before, and we understand the basic concept. But Lord, give us grace this morning to be able to bring this down where we can apply it to our own lives. Let the gospel ring clear as we examine this passage, Lord. Let us see Jesus above all. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So I want to start this morning with what many commentators call the difficulties of interpreting chapter 28. Many of them would say there are these primary difficulties, and the first one is this. Deuteronomy 28 has many similarities to other writings, often called treaties, in the Near East among the peoples of that day. Deuteronomy commentaries, many of them will emphasize this all through the book, but especially in chapter 28. There was a man, his name was Moshe Weinfeld, and he did these detailed studies of Deuteronomy. And in 1961, he published some findings, and basically what he said is this: Deuteronomy borrows heavily from other writings of his day. He specifically, let me find this because I wanted to read this. There it is. He specifically argued that large portions of Deuteronomy 28, verses 20 through 68, were directly borrowed from Assyrian sources, particularly the vassal treaties of Esarhaddon, which are dated in the 7th century B.C. Now, I don't know if anything about that catches your attention. The 7th century B.C. Now, we haven't talked in a long time since we started the book of Deuteronomy. Do you know about when Deuteronomy was written, when Moses spoke these words on the plains of Moab and the book of Deuteronomy was written? Yeah, even farther back, many would say. So we're talking about when he says that Deuteronomy borrows from these sources in the 7th century B.C., he's talking hundreds of years later than when we believe Deuteronomy was written. You say, why? Well, because of the similarities in writing. Guys like Weinfeld would say there is no way that the book of Deuteronomy does not borrow from these other writings. So what do we do with that? While there are many commentators that would take this view, there are many other conservative writers who would give very detailed reasons why that is not necessarily so. There's something to be said for simplicity. We're not going to say that no writer of the Bible ever used any other writings, but that's very different from saying that Deuteronomy and other books are dependent on human beings. What does the scripture say? Holy men of God wrote as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So that whatever they included, ultimately, it was from God himself. It's interesting to me that these writers, they never seem to consider that maybe other sources borrowed from the Bible. You know, that is possible as well. But many will take these things, and because of certain presuppositions, they will say that when there are similarities, that means the Bible borrowed from these other sources. Related to this is the structure of chapters 26 through 29. Now go back to the end of chapter 26. I've got my paper clip here, so it'll take me a second. 26 ends, verse 19. And he will set you in praise and in fame and in honor high above all nations that he has made, that you shall be a people holy to the Lord your God, as he promised. Now go over to 28:1. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord, many writers will say, that follows naturally. 27, it's just out of place. It shouldn't be there. And so what happens is, then there has to be this restructuring. Well, how should it be? And many will say that chapter 27 should come after chapter 28. And again, what do we do with that kind of thinking? What does that do? What that does is it makes human wisdom the authority that trumps the Word of God. Surely God, in instructing his writers, whether he did it in whatever fashion he did it, surely he was able to work in them in such a way that things can be in proper order in the Scripture. Now, let's be clear. Sometimes there are things in the Bible that we don't understand. We don't understand why it's this way. But that does not give us license to say, well, it must be wrong and we're going to change it. We can't do that. And I warn you, if you read about the Bible, you will read plenty of this stuff. Don't swallow that. This is the inspired Word of God. We may not understand it all, but we can trust that it comes directly from our God. Now, the final difficulty of this chapter, as you look at chapter 28, the final difficulty is this. As you read through this, let me just ask you, you that have read this before, and we're going to read it a little bit later. Are there more curses or more blessings in this chapter? Just skip down through it. You'll find things about blessings in verses 3 through 14. When you get to verse 15, it's nothing but curses to the end of the chapter. About four times as much about curses as about blessings. And, you know, we question that. Isn't God more eager to bless people than to curse people? Why four times as much about curses as about blessing? Why the disparity? Some would say something like this. Well, Moses is coming to the end of his addresses to the people. And he is very, very concerned that they understand the dangers of being disobedient to God and the curses that will come on them as a result. They will have decades and centuries even to enjoy the blessings of God if they obey. But if they disobey, it's going to be too late. And all these curses are going to come upon them. And so he finds it very necessary to pronounce especially and to give instructions about these curses. I think perhaps the best answer that I know of, and I think that may be part of it, but I think we have to remember the nature of man. In some of our catechism, in 14, we read, all of creation is fallen. We are all born in sin and guilt, corrupt in our nature and unable to keep God's law. And then in 29, we are still inclined to all evil. In our flesh, even we as believers, we still have that tendency to sin. And we prove it by sinning. Moses, he presents his whole thing in an if-then scenario. If you obey God, you will be blessed. If you disobey God, you will be cursed. But why so much more emphasis on the curses? Is it not because man inevitably turns toward disobedience of God? And all you have to do is look at Israel. What did they experience? For a little while, blessings, but boy, did they experience these curses because they disobeyed God, which is what man naturally does. We'll come back to this. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the structure of chapter 28. You'll excuse me a little bit. I've still got some stuff in my throat. Even a casual reading of the chapter tells us that it's all about blessings and curses. So, even though that is true, the blessings and the curses themselves are pronounced in very small sections. The blessings are in verses 3 through 6. Do you see that? Just look at the beginning of verse 3, 4, 5, and 6. Every one of them, blessed or blessed. I say blessed, you may say blessed, it doesn't matter. And then the curses are pronounced in verses 16 through 19. Do you see that? Just go to the start of 16, 17, 18, 19. You will see cursed. So what's the rest of the chapter? The rest of the chapter is about the blessings and the curses. Let's just read them again. Verse 3. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and of the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Now, do you see? That is the direct pronouncing of the blessings. And then in 16, you have the same thing. I'm not going to read it again, but it's the same thing about the curses. Now, something that may have caught your attention, compare verses 3 through 6 with verses 16 through 19. Do you see how 16 through 19 is the exact opposite of 3 through 6? A couple of minor differences. In verse 4, you'll see the fruit of your cattle. That is missing in the curses. There's no cursed be the fruit of your cattle. And the part about the basket and your kneading bowl, it's moved forward in the order a little bit in the curses. But other than that, they are exactly parallel. The exact opposite will happen to you if you disobey God than if you obey God. Now, what about the rest of the chapter? What about verses 7 through 14 and verses 20 through 68? Those sections are about the blessings and the curses. They're not the pronouncing of the blessing and the curses. They're in these short sections. You might think of it this way. This is Moses' sermon. The sermon for his text is verses 3 through 6 and verses 16 through 19. And then everything else, verses 7 through 14, verses 20 through 68, that's his sermon about the blessings and the curses. And it is quite long. Finally, before we read the rest of it, I want to say a word just to remind us of where we are in Deuteronomy. So take your Bible, if you will, and turn back to chapter 26. Chapter 26 begins, "When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall..." And then in the verses that follow, Moses gives them two basic commands. He tells them to first deal with the offering of the first fruits when they come into the land. And then secondly, he tells them in verse a little bit later, he says, then offer the third year tithe, which is obviously a couple of years later. Then down in verse 16, this day, the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and rules. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. So you see this bouncing back. He tells them first, when you get into the land, and then he brings them back to the plains of Moab, and he reviews laws from what he has given them. He says, you obey these things here and now. So we see this shift. Now come to chapter 27, verse 1. Now Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep the whole commandment that I command you today, and on the day you cross over the Jordan to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall. So once again, he's talking to them again about when you get over into the promised land, this is what you shall do. And remember, he tells them to set up these stones, write the law on them. He also tells them to make an altar of unhewn stones, if they use stones, and there they are to offer sacrifices and rejoice in the Lord. And then down in verses 9 through 14, he gives them the arrangements for the actual covenant renewal ceremony in the promised land. And he talks about it will take place at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And then in verses 15 through 26, he gives the pronouncement of 12 curses. And again, we don't know why he didn't give the blessings there. So you see this going back and forth between here and now on the plains of Moab, and this is what you'll do when you get into the promised land. So when we come to 28:1, we've been transported again from the promised land back to the plains of Moab, and Moses is speaking to them about the here and now, and the subject is the potential blessings and curses that will be theirs depending on how they respond to God and his commands. Now, Now let's come very specifically to the substance of these blessings and curses. The blessings in 3 through 6, the curses in 16 through 19. I want to read you a quote. Even though they're quite specific, we can sum up these blessings and curses. One writer does it like this. The blessings of God would extend to every sphere of Israel's life, to urban life and rural life, to fertility and man and the ground and in animals, to the provision of household necessities, to the daily activities that a man might undertake. And then we'll see the same thing about the curses. They're comprehensive in the scope. In other words, this is a huge slice of life, and it deals with everything. In other words, these blessings will come on you in every area of your life. If you disobey, these curses will come on you in every area of your life. This has to do with all of your livelihood. For instance, look down at verse 12, the first part. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands. And we know well what the rain meant. That meant that they'd have good crops if they got plenty of rain. So he's talking about all of their life and all of their livelihood. Now, so we've read those a couple times, the blessings and the curses. Now we want to come to Moses' sermon on the blessings and curses, and this is the bulk of the chapter. And I want to read it. We're not going to elaborate on it because we simply don't have time. But I do want to read these, and I want to watch you to watch for a couple things as we read this. You've already seen this somewhat. As we read these sections, notice how he keeps on repeating the if-then scenario. If you obey, you will be blessed. These things will come upon you. If you disobey, these things will come upon you. Watch also for what we've already talked about. Watch this thing about how what happens with the curses is the opposite of what happens with the blessings. So, verse 7. Now, this is a rather lengthy reading. May God give us grace to tune in and listen. Verse 7. This is his sermon on the blessings that he's just pronounced. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you in your barns and in all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground, within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall only go up and not down, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now, skip down to verse 20. And now we're going to read basically his sermon on the curses. Verse 20. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in all that you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence stick to you until he has consumed you off the land that you were entering in to take possession of it. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease and with fever, inflammation and fiery heat, and with drought and with blight and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And the heavens over your head shall be bronze, and the earth under you shall be iron. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder from heaven dust shall come on you and until you are destroyed. Do you see how he's expounding and expanding on the curses that have been pronounced? Verse 25. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall be a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. And your dead body shall be food for the birds of the air and for the beasts of the earth. And there shall be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors and scabs and itch of which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind. And you shall grope at noonday as the blind grope in darkness. And you shall not prosper in your ways. And you shall be only oppressed and robbed continually, and there shall be no one to help you. You shall betroth the wife, but another man shall ravish her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not enjoy its fruit. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat any of it. Your donkey shall be seized before your face, but shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, but there shall be no one to help you. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, while your eyes look on and fail with longing for them all day long, but you shall be helpless. A nation that you have not known shall eat up the fruit of your ground and of all your labors, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually, so that you are driven mad by the sight that your eyes see. The Lord will strike you on the knees and on the legs with grievous boils of which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. Verse 36. The Lord will bring you and your The Lord will bring you and your king, whom you set over you, to a nation that neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone. And you shall become a horror, a proverb, and a byword among all the peoples where the Lord will lead you away. You shall carry much seed into the field and shall gather in little, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives shall drop off. You shall father sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. The cricket shall possess all your trees and the fruit of your ground. The sojourner who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. See that again, that opposite. Verse 45. All these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that he commanded you. They shall be a sign and a wonder against you and your offspring forever. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart, because of the abundance of all things, therefore, you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord your God will send against you in hunger and in thirst, in nakedness and lacking everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the end of the earth, swooping down like the eagle, a nation whose language you do not understand, a hard-faced nation who shall not respect the old or show mercy to the young. It shall eat the offspring of your cattle and the fruit of your ground until you are destroyed. It also shall not leave you grain, wine, or oil, the increase of your herds or the young of your flock, until they have caused you to perish. 52. They shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted come down through all your land, and they shall besiege you in all your towns throughout all your land, which the Lord your God has given you. And you shall eat the fruit of your womb, the flesh of your sons and daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, in the siege and in the distress with which your enemies shall distress you. The man who is the most tender and refined among you will begrudge food to his brother, to the wife he embraces, and to the last of the children whom he has left, so that he will not give to any of them any of the flesh of his children whom he is eating, because he has nothing else left. in the siege and in the distress with which your enemy shall distress you in all your towns. The most tender and refined woman among you, who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because she is so delicate and tender, will be grudged to the husband she embraces, to her son and to her daughter, her afterbirth that comes out from between her feet and her children whom she bears, because lacking everything she will eat them secretly in the siege and in the distress with which your enemy shall distress you in your towns. 58. If you are not careful to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions, afflictions severe and lasting, and sickness grievous and lasting. And he will bring you upon you again all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Every sickness also and every affliction that is not recorded in the book of this law, the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed. Whereas you were as numerous as the stars of heaven, you shall be left few in number, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And as the Lord took delight in doing you good and multiplying you, so the Lord will take delight in bringing ruin upon you and destroying you. And you shall be plucked off the land that you are entering to take possession of it. 64. And the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other. And there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. And among these nations you shall find no respite, and there shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But the Lord will give you there a trembling heart and failing eyes and a languishing soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. Night and day you shall be in dread and have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, "If only it were evening." And at evening you shall say, "If only it were morning," because of the dread that your heart shall feel and the sights that your eyes shall see. And the Lord will bring you back in ships to Egypt, a journey that I promise that you should never make again. And there you shall offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. That is not an easy chapter to read. Harsh. And why would these things come upon them? Because they did not obey the Lord their God. Now, if you study the history of Israel, you see these things actually happening. Now, so what do we do with this whole chapter? How do we wrap this thing up? Here's the biggest question that we must face, and it's simply this. Is it still the same today? Is there blessing for obedience and cursing for disobedience? Now, first we say, well, that's a no-brainer. Of course God will bless us if we obey, and he will curse us if we disobey. But I do want us to recognize that we cannot take these words in chapter 28 and bring them over directly and apply them directly as Moses did to those people on the plains of Moab. Now you say, why not? First of all, because those words were pronounced to a nation, not to individuals. Now, some of them would affect individuals, obviously, but they were pronounced to a nation, and they were largely physical in nature. Now, those of us who are in Christ, we are not a physical nation. Yes, we are a nation, according to the Scripture, but we are not a physical nation as was Israel. The blessings and the curses in that chapter, as you notice, many of them were tied to an agriculture society. We are not an agricultural society. So take some of these and apply them to Jesus. How well would we do? Well, we can't apply much of it to Jesus because Jesus didn't have children. And many of these blessings and curses had to do with their sons and their daughters. Now, come back to the idea. Moses said four times as much about the curses as he did the blessings. Would we agree that man is not basically good? Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That's what David said. It's true of us. We were born in sin. The human default is disobedience. And later in the history of Israel, we see this played out. God knew well that they would disobey and that the curses would come on them. Now the question is, are we any different? Are we born in sin? Absolutely. Do we have a history of disobedience toward God? We do. So how can we expect to receive the inheritance described in verses 3 through 14? Now, here's the key. First of all, we have to define the blessing and the curses. As I mentioned, these were largely blessings and curses that were physical and national in nature. What we must focus on, those of us who belong to Christ, is the fact that we are in Christ. Grab hold of that phrase, in Christ. So is it true that God pours out blessings on us if we obey, and he pours out curses if we disobey? Now, I want to take you back again to Jesus. Let's take Jesus. Did he obey God the Father? Perfectly, without exception. Since he obeyed, did God the Father pour out his blessings on Jesus? Now, that may not be an easy question. Before you answer, remember that God poured out his wrath on Jesus. Did he not? When Jesus was on the cross, God the Father poured out his wrath on him. Was that a blessing? No, was not a blessing. You remember, I'm not going to read it again, but do you remember we've been in Galatians 3 a few times recently. Jesus became a what? A curse for us. God the Father poured out the curse on his son, Jesus. Man, this kind of turns Deuteronomy 28 upside down. So how can it be for us that the blessing is the reward for obedience? Do you see it? Jesus obeyed. And because of that, God has poured out his blessings on us. We sang it. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. So there's a sense in which Deuteronomy 28 is absolutely true. If you take the you out. If there is obedience to my commands, you will be blessed. We are blessed because Jesus obeyed all those commands perfectly. If you disobey, you will be cursed. Jesus took the curse for us. That's what we deserved. Do you see it? Ephesians 2, you can turn there if you want. We go back here lots of time. No apologies. Great passage. Here's a description of us and our disobedience. Verse 1, Ephesians 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. There we were. Disobedience, deserving all the curses that God could pour out on us. Verse 4, but God. But God did what we could never do. Let me read it. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And that grace is defined this way: God sent Jesus to the cross to become a curse on our behalf, that we might be richly, richly blessed. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, just go back a chapter, and after he gives his typical introduction, he then says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, what does that say? That says that all of us who are, see that phrase, in Christ, God has poured out every spiritual blessing on us. Well, he must not have gotten that right. He meant to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has poured out every spiritual blessing on those of us who have been obedient. It's not what he says. Not at all. It's not because of our obedience. It's because we are in Christ, and it's because of Christ's obedience. Do you see it? I hear Christians say, I hear pastors say, we want the blessing of God. We have the blessing of God. How can he top that? He's poured out every spiritual blessing on us in the heavenly places in Christ. Why? We read it in 1 Peter 3. He has poured out his blessings on us so that we can be a blessing to others. Even to those who rail on us and curse us, we can bless them. We can be a blessing because he has blessed us. So, brothers and sisters, let's not go around looking for the blessing of God. Let's rejoice that we have the blessing of God, and now let's focus on being a blessing of God to those around us. That's the gospel. That is the gospel, and it is good news. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that even though that gospel may be veiled in Deuteronomy 28, thank you that as you have given us the New Testament and the Holy Spirit within us, we can see the glorious gospel even in that passage. Praise your holy name. Keep us running to Jesus no matter where we are in the scripture. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you obeyed the Father perfectly, and then you went to the cross and became the curse for us. Oh, thank you, Lord, that we don't have to bear the curses of our disobedience, but Lord Jesus, you bore them, so that we might go free, so that we might have real life in you. Now let's just meditate a bit on that gospel. Father, our prayer is that as we rejoice in all the blessings you've poured out on us, that you will make us a blessing to those around us. And Lord, we know that the ultimate blessing is that we can proclaim and live the gospel that others might come into your kingdom and be blessed alongside us. Make us those people. In Jesus' name, amen.